from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT and Sal back on the fan. Brandon's here to Sal Licata Show, the crown top story of the day. It's been the top story, really, of last week, last month. Clay Holmes, not it. We know it. You know it. The Yankees have to know it. And more importantly, the Yankees must act on this. Now, it's been frustrating with certain elements of the Yankee franchise the last couple of years. They've been so patient, whether it's Torres, whether it's Hicks, whether it's Gallo, whether it's a couple of starting pitchers, whether it's maybe running out certain catchers there more frequently than sometimes we would like. We question why they do that. And they've got their own reasons, even when we don't agree with them. And a lot of times we don't. They must universally, to a man and woman in that organization, now know that there is no way they can pursue number 28 with Clay Holmes trying to be Moe or Goose or somebody else. He can't be the closer.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any way to fix it. They don't have a closer, which is a major problem on a team that's trying to win a World Series. We talked about this dating back to March. Is Clay Holmes the guy? I'll figure maybe the Yankees will realize that at some point through the season and adjust and go out there and get somebody to replace Clay Holmes at the trade deadline. They did not, in fact, do that. They felt Holmes was their best option, whether it's value of the relievers on the market at the time, whatever it may be. They came up with Mark Leiter Jr., another one of the reasons why I said the Yankees didn't do enough at the trade deadline. Here they are, 20-something games to go. They just lost their hold on first place last night in another game where Holmes blew it. There is no closer. They don't have one, and there really is no answer to me. You could mention Heel as you did BT or figure out one of the other guys, but they don't have an answer at closer, and that is a major problem. I don't even think it's the biggest issue for them, but it is a major problem for the Yankees going into the postseason.
I think it's the biggest, Sal. I really do. Now, I do admit that there are other issues, but I think this usurps them all. When you blow 8 of 18 games, which he has, when you have an ERA of over 6, or roughly 6, during that 18-game stretch, he has been unfathomably unreliable for a team with, whether they're loose designs in the eyes of some or real designs in the eyes of many like me. I think the Yankees could win the World Series or at least get there. You can't keep rolling this out there. Now, the problem is when you have a bullpen implosion, it's the last checkpoint. There's no recourse. There's nowhere to go. We can rant and rave, and he's playing much better lately, at least in the batter's box. Gleyber Torres and some other elements that we've complained about this year specifically, but the Yankees can still win if Gleyber Torres goes 0-for-4. The Yankees can find a way to recover because they've got an hour or two to do it if the starting pitcher gives up a crooked number early and you got to go to the bullpen and piece it together. Maybe you win a shootout, you win 7-6. When your bullpen can't get the 27th out, that's it. The lights get flipped out. Right. The game's over.
Right, but if the other issues happen throughout the course of the game, they won't have a chance to close out a game. So I think that Gleyber's miscues, the Yankees' inconsistency offensively is going to be a problem. Their starting pitching and that inconsistency is going to be a problem. They're a flawed team. They've been a 500 team for 3 months right now. The closer is just one of the issues for them. And there is no clear cut. You could come up with You could try to come up with solutions. There is no clear-cut, okay, this guy is going to be our closer. The New York Yankees don't have a closer.
My solution is heel. All right. I know you guys are juiced up about this. I'll get back to the phones. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. Inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio, friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name-brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Steve is in Ozone Park. Steve, what's going on? Steve-o.
Steve. What's up, Steve?
Steve. Yeah, Steve. Come on, man. Hank in Connecticut. What's going on, Hank?
What's up, fellas?
Hey.
So, how are you? So the Clay Holmes thing, you know, we can beat that into the ground. We all know it. The Yankees don't seem to know it. My bigger question, and to Sal's point, I don't think LeMay should be on the roster, but how in the world is Rizzo not in the game on defense starting the eighth inning last night? Once Heaney's out, LeMayu's gone.
Yep.
What? I don't get it. How is he not on the field?
That's ridiculous, losing a ground ball in the lights. Even the guys on the broadcast, Hank, if you realize, I mean, think about that, what we're talking about. Losing a ground ball in the lights. I know it was a high chop, but come on, still. The guys are saying, oh, I thought it was a night off for Rizzo.
Yep.
Meanwhile, he got an at bat. So what is Boone doing? And they didn't go as far as to say that Boone doesn't know what he's doing, but they were questioning.
They questioned him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not to mention, Sal, like he played 2 days in a row. He needs a full night off. He was off for 3 months.
All right, exactly. I mean, we said that earlier.
Hey, listen, guys. I understand, and thanks for the call, buddy. We can laugh at that. Sal, you had the line early in the show. Why does he need another night off? He's had the whole season off. And I did genuinely laugh. It was funny. But let's also be fair. When you're 36 and you go from months of inactivity, you know, rehab aside, but your body's not stressed because you can't replicate game stuff down in Tampa or in the batting cage or off a tee. You know, you play two games, you're on your feet, you're just a little general. I know that it seems like, how weak are these guys? But I could understand why the Yankees wanted to get Rizzo off his feet last night. Now, the inconsistency of then playing him is one thing, but, I still understand.
I think it's a bit much. The fact that he's been out all year long, he can't play three games and all whatever. But yeah, I'm not going to nitpick. If Rizzo didn't get in the game last night, I wouldn't come on screaming saying, how could you not play Rizzo? What's he doing on the team? I would be saying, how could you play LeMahieu? But the fact that they did get Rizzo in the game and didn't do so as a defensive replacement just doesn't make any sense.
Let's get Will Long Island up now with BT and Sal on the Fan. What's cooking, Will?
This whole Clay Holmes thing, it's really frustrating me because BT, like you mentioned, he'll walk the ballpark. Holmes walked two guys yesterday. Mm-hmm. Is this going to make it worse? And you guys keep mentioning, oh, he can't close in October. The Red Sox didn't have a closer in 18. They made Chris Sale the closer. Last year, they took Chapman out of the closer position and had a closer by committee. It's going to get resolved. Oh, by the way, Holmes don't have swing and miss stuff. He has more strikeouts than an annual Class A. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Wait. Forget about Class A. Forget about anybody else's closers, the Guardians, whatever. You watch him, okay? Do you have confidence that he's getting the strikeout when he needs one? I don't.
He has the most strikeouts out of any closer in baseball.
Okay, so then why is everybody saying that the Yankees bullpen has no swing and miss stuff?
Because they're stupid.
Oh, come on, Will.
Well, that's a good response. That is a good response. Will, I just want to ask you, what is your solution then? Clay Holmes is your closer?
I think the best solution for closer, if it cannot be Clay Holmes, unfortunately he's out, it's Jonathan Loaisiga. He's proven it in the past. That's a big loss.
He's not here, I'm asking you to deal in reality. They got 20 games to go. The postseason is right down the road here. What is your solution?
They don't have a better option, Sal.
I understood. I'm just asking you. You're right. I did say it, but I wanted to hear it from you.
Wait, so, Will, you don't think that there's any chance, when you say there's no other option, I definitely disagree with you and Sal. You tell me there's no shot that Luis Gil could be better? No chance.
He walks the ballpark.
Oh, God almighty.
See, here's the difference, Will.
All right, Will, appreciate the call there, bud. I got you.
I do kind of agree with him. The difference is, see, I'm saying, along with Will, that I don't believe that the Yankees have a clear, better option to close games right now. As is Will. The difference is he says everything's going to be fine. I say it's not. You can't win with Clay Holmes as your closer. So, and then you come in and kind of in the middle saying that, yeah, well, you can't win with Clay Holmes as your closer. I acknowledge that. We agree. But you're looking for a different solution that I also don't think is going to work out.
I mean, I'm going to drop a line in the water. Maybe I get a nipple.
Right.
Maybe I sit there for 3 hours, twiddle my thumbs, and I go through 9 worms, and I get no fish.
Yeah, I don't want to touch the worms.
Oh, that's right. You hate fish.
They're dirty.
Oh, God. I did not fish once this summer. That's very
disappointing. So you're not a Fisher either?
No, no, I love it. I've just been, yeah, I didn't have a chance.
I get it.
I do love it. I mean, listen, Luis Gil at least represents hope. He represents a change.
All right.
And you can tell me about Class A and the numbers and the whiffs and the this. I know that Luis Gil has not had the command of his slider and his fastball, at least the upper part of the zone, for a while. But I also have more confidence. Again, I could be wrong, but I'm willing to take a chance that if he walks a guy and he walks two with a little mechanical in-inning tweak, he could throw three baseballs by somebody when he has to more than Holmes. Think that about, I believe.
Hey, look, if it's not working, now my problem is that I thought there was going to be an issue before the year. I thought it was going to be an issue during the year, and they just never addressed it. So my problem is they've already screwed this up beyond repair. I'm not opposed to giving something a shot. I just don't think it's going to be the answer that you would trust in the postseason. But think about what other teams have done, specifically the Baltimore Orioles. They went into the year with Craig Kimbrell as their closer, who I did not like. I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him. But he wasn't getting the job done. What'd they do? They went out and got somebody else. And instead, the Yankees all year long have been shoving Clay Holmes down our throats.
Yeah.
He's blown 11 saves.
And by the way, until last night, the aforementioned blown save by Clay Holmes, the Baltimore Orioles were looking up at the Yankees at the standings.
Now they're not.
Oh, I understand that.
But yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, everything's not perfect. No, nothing. This is a very flawed season for everybody.
Right, but the point about bringing the Orioles into the conversation is that they tried. When something wasn't working with Craig Kimbrell, who's, some people say, and I don't, but some people say Hall of Fame closer.
Mm-hmm.
They removed him midway through the season in lieu of Sir Anthony Dominguez because they didn't think Kimbrell could get the job done. And yet the Yankees are rolling with Clay Holmes, who is not a Hall of Fame closer. He's not even a closer, who's blown his 11th save now.
Yeah, but there's a little bit of a difference, number one. Now, it might ultimately result in the same banishment from that role, and I believe that it should and it will. But, you know, Clay Holmes, not a Mariano track record, but he had a track record here with the Yankees. He was pretty good last year as well. You know, last year, Kimbrel was on a different team.
Right.
And the year before that, he was on a different team. And the year before that, when he was with the White Sox, he was on five different teams in 5 years.
Right.
Craig Kimbrel.
Understood.
So the Orioles' lack of tolerance for his high wire act, I could see them not having the stomach for it quicker than the Yankees, who were rolling with the same guy who was pretty good for them last year.
I guess.
It's a little different.
Now you're making excuses.
No. I'm just giving you context. It's not an excuse.
No, I understand, but it's still accountability.
And by the way, with the trade deadline, Holmes was not this bad. Kimbrel was.
Right.
He was.
Right, but BT, if we can see early on, like if I'm saying, I don't trust Clay Holmes. If I'm saying that in March, why can't the Yankees see that? If I could see it in March and April and May, and we saw signs of it, like he was getting saves.
He didn't give up a run the first 12 outings.
Okay,
remember
fine,
that
but that doesn't mean that he wasn't in trouble. He was always in trouble.
Yep.
So you knew eventually you play with fire, you're going to get burned. Watching him, there was just something about it. And it's not that, he blew a game. All closers, all great relievers even, are going to blow some games. That wasn't what was happening with Holmes. He was always with the high wire act, use your term, always playing with fire. It was just a matter of time before he got burned. And he's gotten burnt now several times.
Maybe the Yankees said to themselves, all right, we will be able to address, I'm thinking, because you asked me, if in March, if you can identify this, or you did identify this, why didn't the Yankees earlier than that?
And it's gotten worse, by the way, way worse.
It's definitely gotten worse. There's no doubt about that. Nobody's running from that. But maybe the Yankees' thought process was, all right, we like him. We don't love him. Let's enter the season, see what we got. And then at the deadline. But then
the asking
price was too much, and that was an organizational decision.
Right.
Whether it's right or wrong,
I'm just
giving you their thought process.
Okay, fine. And I thought that was their process. As a matter of fact, I said that they're probably just going to ride this to the trade deadline and then go get a closer because they really don't have one in Clay Holmes. But then they get there and they say, oh, no, the price is too steep for a closer to try to win a World Series? There should be no too steep of a price. You go get the pitcher you need.
Let's go to Mike in Allentown, PA. He's got us up on the free Odyssey app. Mike, what's going on, buddy? BT and Sal, how are you today?
Hey, great show, guys. Let me start off with my list, but I'll make it short. First, I want to say about a captain on a team and a manager on a team. What do? You have Paul O'Neill, you have announcers, you have you guys, you articulate perfectly. You're saying just what the fans are seeing, okay? You talk about crying in a movie. I cry when I watch the Yankees. When I see Holmes, warming up, when I see, I have to turn the game off. You know what the end result is going to be. Okay. Okay. Let me go quickly. Okay. Verdugo. I call him Verdonko. Okay. Mm. 3 years. You're going to wait 3 years to figure out the gloves are bad. Give me a break. I put gloves on. My hands itch. I throw them in the garbage. Okay. Next. LeMahieu. Forget about it. Forget about it. Volpe. This is what bothers me about Volpe. Okay. He gets some hits. He can run. But you don't keep turning to the umpire when you don't like the pitch. Who does that?
What do you think that's going to do for the...
Yeah, who does that?
Nobody complains but Volpe.
Nobody complains as much as Volpe.
Oh, I don't see that at all, Matt. I don't see that at all.
Okay, it's just you guys make observations. I make observations.
I got you. I just don't agree, but I got you.
You guys should be coaches, and you should be with the team.
I agree with that, Mike.
I was
You're
with
right.
the team for 2 days, and You're they
right.
won.
We should be with the team and be good.
I'll tell you this. Back. Get those wins.
I'll tell you this. My post-game press conference wouldn't be making excuses for anybody. I think you know that.
Yeah, I tell you.
This guy, not good enough. He keeps that up. He's going to be removed from the job. Next
be AAA.
Question.
He'll be on the bus. Ship his ass out to Columbus like the old days.
I do think Volpe, just to take on one of his points right there, I do think the inconsistencies of Anthony Volpe as a player have been a major problem for this team.
I agree with you.
Because if I'm expecting him, and I know the Yankees were expecting him to be a star,
mm-hmm.
and he started out like that, and I don't think it's coincidence that the Yankees were playing their best baseball April, May, where Volpe was red hot.
Yep.
His inconsistencies are a problem. You don't know what you're getting from him. He shouldn't be a 250 guy that's hitting 11 home runs.
I don't disagree. Having said that, you could always... The Volpe story is a complex one because he's still very young.
Yeah.
And when he looks good, he looks really good.
Right, right.
And when he looks bad, he looks bad. But bottom line is this. Judge, top WAR on the team. Juan Soto, second best WAR on the team. Anthony Volpe, third best WAR on the team. And the next one is Wells, and then the next one is Jazz. And then there's a massive drop-off. Again, he's far from perfect. He's far from finished. I don't think he'll ever be a superstar. But by the way, that average started to creep back up to 260.
Right.
Going to probably wind up with 35 steals. The power outage this year is a little bit odd. I've seen some, I don't want to say yips, but I've seen some skittish hands the last couple of weeks here at shortstop a little bit. Maybe slight regression from last year's defensive prowess. I like Volpe. I do. I believe in him. Actually, I love the kid. I like the player, but Sal's not wrong. That might be the single most frustrating thing about this team outside of Clay Holmes.
Because I expect...
His fluctuations.
Yeah. I love Volpe as a player. At his best, he looks like a superstar. A budgeting superstar in the league.
Mm.
But he just hasn't... It hasn't happened. I'm not saying it never will. I still have higher hopes for him, I think, than you do, BT. But at some point, you got to see it. And they are relying on him to a certain extent. I've always said the Yankees lineup projects best with Volpe leading off.
Yep.
And they've been messing around with that spot, trying to figure out who's going to be it. I know Gleyber's had some recent success. I'm not going to the postseason with Gleyber. I wouldn't even want Gleyber on my roster, let alone being the leadoff hitter playing second base. I think Volpe's got to be that top-of-the-order guy for them eventually to really get to that next level, but he's been too inconsistent.
They would never do it, and certainly not now. Maybe this morphs into next season, maybe. I mean, Volpe 1, Jazz Chisholm 2, Juan Soto 3, Aaron Judge 4, Austin Wells 5. It's phenomenal.
Would you say that's for next year?
I'm saying for next year. I'm not disagreeing. Soto's going nowhere. I know what the woe was for.
Well. Soto.
Yeah, I got you.
Don't forget.
Yeah.
Don't
this is going to take a massive leap of faith and say that Juan Soto stays with the Yankees.
Hey, I know we got, postseason baseball to focus
that's
on
right.
here. I know we get the NFL starting up to focus on here. Don't forget, there's a big battle coming in November.
There's a big battle, but I'll tell you what. The way he's butchered a few balls in right field the last couple of weeks. I want him. And this little funk that he's in, it doesn't hurt the Yankees. Like, if he finished hitting, 320, that's $60 million a year.
Yeah.
If he hits 294.
Still might be out of their budget.
Easily stave off Cohen.
Still might be be careful.
Volpe, Chisholm, Soto, Judge, Wells. How's that one?
They would never do that.
And then Dominguez, 6.
They would never do
that. I know they would.
Yeah.
They wouldn't.
But, I can see why you would say that. I'm not moving those top two guys probably out of those spots.
I got you. 888-808-1019 is our number. It's BT and Sal. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show on the Fan. By the way, Anthony Beck's going to join us at 1. He is the new radio voice, right, of the Jets and play tight end. Remember, there was 2000 when the Jets drafted Let me see, Chad.
I was on a flight once home with Anthony Becht. I was like, it had to be around there. Might have been. I think I went to Vegas, but then flew back from L.A.
Oh, yeah?
And I remember I was like, oh, Anthony. And you
did
know,
he look hungover coming back from Vegas?
He looked fine. I was reading the Parcells book, The Final Season. You ever read that?
I did.
Great book.
I love it. And I could read Sopranos. I could read or watch anything about Parcells as well.
Same thing. I love it. So I remember reading that book, thinking like, oh, here's Anthony Becht. Anyway, that has nothing to do with the fact that he's coming on, but that's what I think of when I think of Anthony Becht.
He was an okay player. Let's hope he's an awesome interview. So I think he's going to be.
What? Did he ever live up to the hype of the
his credentials? He was okay. I think he's good on the air.
Very good on the air.
I think he's going to be better on the air than he was as a tight end.
All right.
What?
He was a disappointing tight end.
A little bit. First round pick. You want me to lie? I mean, all right. What are you doing here?
I'm having fun.
Me too. Woo! Joined now by Anthony Becht. Phenomenal tight end back. Right up there with Chad Sharp.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Kelsey.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw on third down. Up the middle. Touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer. As a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fan.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz on The Fan. We've got a pair of field level tickets to see the Bronx Bombers take on Kansas City. Those Royals pretty feisty over at the stadium coming up on Wednesday, September 11th. Right now, we'll do call to number 10, and we'll get you there, 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. That's your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz and The Fan. Make sure you guys tune in again tomorrow. BT and Sal, same time, another chance to win Yankee tickets. All right, 12:30 on the button. It is BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. So I heard what Mendoza said last night. By the way, great job by the Mets jumping out again, you know, getting a little early lead. Peterson was phenomenal. Mets just starting this homestand in a phenomenal way, coming off a road trip that was really good and could have been even better, as we talked about yesterday. But you bang out 2 wins against the Red Sox, you keep the momentum going. There's going to be a lot of energy there the rest of this week. People are showing up. The belief is there. Fantastic, right? Lindor going yard, Pete going yard, good stuff. The comment, and it's not to nitpick, I just want to contextualize something here, because I don't understand why this person always gets glossed over. So, and it's not a knock. This is just a baseball conversation. I do disagree with Mendoza's assertion that Lindor is in the process of authoring the greatest...
Stearns.
Did I say Mendoza?
Yes,
thank you.
Stearns.
Good catch. I meant Stearns, obviously. He did that at the press conference. Authoring the best position player season by a Met. Now, Stearns grew up a Mets fan, so there's great perspective there, and he went through this. And
well, no. I'm not buying the whole... I mean, I do believe he grew up a Met fan. I don't know if he grew up...
Yeah, you know, really?
Yeah. Like the way that when he was asked the question about who his favorite player was, he was like hemming and hawing about.
Oh, I do. Something. I remember kind of like
something turned me
off.
I'm
going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, yeah. Right, that's fine. I'm not knocking, but I don't think that, like, I never thought of his fandom growing up as a reason for why he said that. I think he's just looking at maybe what Lindor's done this year and then probably went back and looked at some of the numbers statistically.
Well, since he's a numbers-oriented person, yeah. I would imagine he would go back to reinforce what he thought.
Right.
And I can't prove this. I would think, as a Mets fan, again, a degree, I'm not sure, but I'm going to give him the benefit and think he was a pretty good Mets fan growing up, if not a really good one, that, you know, he already has, whether it's Piazza, knowing what Strawberry did even though he was younger, you know, a few others here. I think that David Wright just gets overlooked all the time, and I don't understand why David Wright gets overlooked.
Well, in how in this capacity?
Okay, so...
You have 1 year in particular?
I do.
Okay.
And there's others where maybe he had more RBIs, but I went and I picked 2007 David Wright, all right? So David Wright's OPS in 2007, and again, Lindor's been phenomenal, and I've eaten a lot of the words, some of these takes that, let's be honest, right now sound a little ludicrous, abandoning the left side of the batter's box. I mean, I owned it. I took the L, so if you want your pound of flesh, go back and find it. My bad. I was wrong with a lot of Lindor stuff. That's not about this. This is just perspective, historical. Okay. Let's be on point. David Wright in 07, 963 OPS, right now 843. It's a big difference. Now, he could go up. I don't think he's going to finish at 963. David Wright stole 34 bases that year.
Right.
Right now, Lindor, he had one last night. He's got 26. Been stuck in the mid-20s for a while. He could get there. I think he falls slightly short. I do think it'll be advantage David Wright. David Wright won the Gold Glove that year.
Okay.
I don't know if Lindor will. He probably should.
All right.
But he got hosed probably a year ago, so there's no guarantee he wins it this year. That year... David Wright had 42 doubles, which is a massive total. And right now, Lindor is on pace for 40, but he has 33. He's got to get there. David Wright hit 325, and Lindor's hitting 273 this year. And the OPS plus, whatever, it doesn't matter, refute it all.
How many games did he play?
I think 160.
Mm, okay.
The OPS plus for David Wright that year was 149, and right now it's 137. For Lindor. Now, maybe there's a few that I omit that you can incorporate that would be more favorable to Lindor in this comparison, but I don't know. OPS, batting average, OPS plus, doubles, gold glove, silver slugger. David Wright was incredible in 07.
Okay, that's
but
fair.
He forgets about David Wright.
When Stern said that, my initial thought was, come on. I'm not minimizing the season Lindor has had. A legitimate MVP season, he's been great. But in Mets franchise history for a position player, my first instinct was to say, okay, well, who are the best Mets position players that I have ever seen?
Okay.
It would be Strawberry, Piazza, Beltran.
Not David Wright?
You could throw Wright in there, but I love David Wright, and I think he's consistent.
Yeah.
And I do think sometimes gets overlooked, maybe... I think the going to Citi Field really hurt him, and just you look at the numbers.
He had like, what, 9 home runs that 1 year, right, the next year?
Beltran in 06, 07, 08, I would put on par with anybody. I don't have Piazza's numbers, but I do have Beltran up.
Okay, because he got his best year.
Here's why I put Beltran. Remember, too, part of Stern's factor was defense.
Yep.
And you're talking about shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
So another premium position is center field. And that's what Carlos Beltran was for the Mets. Carlos Beltran in 2006.
Give me OPS.
982.
Okay, slight advantage over David Wright. Doubles. Just curious.
38.
Advantage David Wright by 4. Stolen bases.
18. He only had 18.
Okay, so advantage by almost double David Wright. Batting average.
275.
325.
Okay.
David Wright.
41 homers.
Gotcha.
116 ribbies.
Okay. OPS plus?
127 runs. OPS plus 150.
Basically the same. David Wright was 149. Very comparable. And in some cases,
won a
big advantage
glove,
Wright.
Won a gold
so
glove,
to Wright.
Finished fourth in the MVP. Yeah,
I think Wright was fourth as well.
Okay.
Fourth or fifth.
So, all right. But that's...
Close.
Yeah, fair enough. But is Lindor's season this year... better than either of those two.
I don't, you know, now, I almost don't want to go down this road because it's going to be construed as but my answer is no.
All right, and then how about you would we eliminate Piazza just because of catcher?
I wouldn't eliminate Piazza. Give me Piazza's best year. Well, I'm not ready to eliminate Mike.
I'm on Strawberry right now.
I would eliminate Strawberry.
Well, Strawberry's best year was what, 88?
What was his best year? Hitting, he should have won the MVP.
Yeah, 88.
What did he hit that year? 275?
He finished second in the MVP.
I know. What was his batting average?
269.
I mean, come on.
Led the league in slugging and OPS. 545 slugging, OPS 911, OPS plus 165.
Wow, that's a massive OPS
39,
plus.
It led the league. Yeah. With 39 homers, 101 ribbies.
Okay.
Played 153 games. Now, again, played right field, you know, not a gold glover.
Didn't win it. David Wright played third,
so
didn't win it.
Let's then take Straw out.
I think Straw should be out.
Okay, as far as individual position players.
Right now it's Beltran, and it's David Wright, and Hoff's got a little Piazza.
Yeah, I got Piazza. In 2000.
Give me OPS, so I want to stay with the same criteria.
OPS, 1.12.
Wow. Okay, advantage Piazza. Stolen bases, forget about it. Gold glove, forget about it.
2000.
Okay.
Doubles, not as relevant, but how many doubles?
26.
Not as relevant. At batting average?
324.
Okay, 325 for David Wright. OPS plus had to be a beast.
He was 155.
All right, 149 for Wright. Ribbies?
113.
And home runs?
38.
What did Wright have, homers and ribbies?
That I didn't look at. I just looked at the OPS and some of the others. He's going to have more home runs than, well.
Hey,
that's true. Lindor's got some bombs, no doubt.
Can I tell you one guy you guys are missing?
Who? Hold on.
Pete?
No.
It's a bad
It's
Dave Kamen's home run. Not that one. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Who? Give me.
Howard Johnson.
Oh, Hojo had a monster. Good goal. Yeah.
89, dude.
Yep.
His OPS plus was 169.
Wow. Was it really?
Yeah.
What were some of the other numbers there?
36 home runs, 101 RBIs, 41 doubles, batting average 287.
How many steals? 41. 41, that's right. Yeah, wow. You know, Hojo was sneaky amazing for a couple
again,
years.
Let's factor in defense here. Hojo was always a tricky thing defensively.
Yeah, when he played third, he was okay. Yeah, when he played short, he wasn't quite a shortstop. Not terrible.
I'm not knocking it, but we're talking about greatest season position player ever. Now, again, I can't reference what happened in the 60s or 70s. If there were a player that
there wasn't.
Was, yeah, okay.
Not position player. They were pitching driven, as you know.
So, so we're down to, I'm throwing out Straw.
Yep.
I'm throwing out McReynolds. We're throwing out even Hojo, bringing him in there. Oh, we have Wright and Beltran and Piazza. Where are we at now? Piazza 2000?
Honestly, I would be, this is just my opinion, the next that I would throw out would be Lindor. I mean, if it's just numbers oriented.
Well, it's not. It's everything.
It's got to be.
Defense, playing every day is part of it.
Yeah, those guys played 100. I don't know how many Piazza. David Wright played 160
Piazza
games that
played
year.
136.
Yeah.
And remember, he's a catcher.
I know.
Which also should skew, up. Now, the thing is, he wasn't a good defensive catcher.
No, well, he's a competent receiver. Just didn't throw guys out. But,
by the way,
it's
Piazza's birthday. Yeah. Happy birthday to one of the
greatest.
To
Big Mike?
Ever. Yeah.
How old is he?
Don't know.
53, 54? How old is Mike?
No. 56. God, Mike Piazza.
Jeez. Still got some hair, still pretty good shape.
I know, but like...
Still married to that playmate?
I believe so, but I'm not sure.
There you go.
That also does not factor into his 2000 season.
Well, maybe it should. Maybe we got to elevate it. He married a playmate.
I mean, Piazza also in 99, 40 and 124. Dude.
I know.
I don't know. I mean, if we're factoring in games played and defense, then it probably comes down to Lindor. You rule out Piazza and you go Lindor... Beltran, right.
I can't rule out Piazza.
I'm saying we're factoring in defense and games played.
I'm still not ruling out Mike Piazza. The numbers are so much better than Lindor.
Just 2000, you're saying?
Yeah, well, the season that he picked. I didn't go through his, I didn't cherry pick it. I'll trust Hoff.
Yeah, that's the best. That's his best OPS
by far, yeah.
Okay.
The year prior, 99, he had 40 home runs, but his numbers were lower, so.
Got it.
All right. What do you think, if you forget Lindor for a second, out of Piazza, Beltran, Wright, if you have to take one out, which one are you taking out?
Piazza, Beltran, Wright. If I have to, Piazza. So putting Lindor aside, Piazza, Beltran, Wright.
If you're ruling out one of those greatest seasons.
I would probably rule out Piazza.
So would I. Okay. So now we're getting down to it. Beltran, Wright, and
I'm a David Wright guy.
Lindor.
And I'm a Beltran guy, David Wright.
You think he's your best better player than ever. Beltran?
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
I've
but that's
said
a
that.
Different argument.
No,
best man of all time.
True. I'm not trying to hijack it. True. But his season, I just think David Wright was
better than Beltran in 06. Beltran won a gold glove as a center fielder.
I got it. David Wright, he's not a butcher. He won it too.
41 homers, 116 ribbies. No, but he did it at third base. 275, OPS of 982.
Okay, first, stop for one second. Think about that. Now, I know you gloss over it. And there
he
are
only played 140 games. That's a knock on Beltran. That's a
fair
minus.
Enough. There's definite things that favor Beltran. But you gloss over the, it's an antiquated stat. You gloss over batting average. What was his batting average?
275.
325 for David Wright.
Give me Wright. You didn't give me the homers and ribbies. I want the homers
I'm
and ribbies.
I'm actually popping that up, too, because I need to.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's an important thing.
I need to do a few things. What do you want? Right.
Well, if it's comparable, I'll give you this. If Wright hit in the 30s in homers
he
and 100
did.
Ribbies.
He did. Okay. He definitely 110 at least ribbies. Hold on. David Wright. Okay. I mean, I think the RBIs are going to be negligible. What did I say, 2007?
Yeah.
RBIs for David Wright, 107.
And what's the homers?
30. Now, the next year, he actually had 124 RBIs.
Take a year.
And he hit 302, which is still better than Beltran's.
No, what do you mean?
Beltran hit 273.
275.
All right, so David Wright, the year I didn't even pick, hit 302.
He hit 41 and 116. Okay. Wright has never sniffed 41 homers.
I understand that.
And again, center fielder. All right, if you...
42 doubles, 190 hits.
So of those three, who are we ruling out? Wright, Beltran, Lindor season this year?
I'm ruling out Lindor's. Now, the only thing that... Well,
He plays every day, and he plays gold glove defense.
This is important for Lindor. This I have to say. We're talking like we are cherry-picking individual. Piazza, Straw, Hojo, you know, Wright, Beltran. Every one of those players had more around him than Lindor. Right. So the only thing that...
one-man show here.
The only thing that I've omitted is clutch value. And I could see why that would supersede for some... a David Wright season or a Piazza, et cetera, or Beltran.
I think part of Stern...
Lindor's carried the team.
Part of Stern saying that it was... that he's on pace or whatever for the greatest season, position player-wise in franchise history, a big part of that is not only defense, not only the caliber of defense, the position he plays, and also the fact that he's played every game. He's leading the league in games played.
Yeah.
Those are things that... he's going to have an advantage of. Beltran only played 140 games in his best year here. I'll rule that out. Now, if he played another 20, he might have hit 50 home runs. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. I'll rule Beltran out. I would say that maybe it comes down to Wright and Lindor here. I almost said Reyes. Wright and Reyes. Oh, Wright and Lindor. I might have to favor Lindor. The numbers aren't as good, but playing every day and playing shortstop at the level that he did, I could understand why Stern said that.
There's an element of subjectivity. We just went over the stuff that's irrefutable. Yeah. I mean, the other, I don't know exactly what he's leaning on and what he values
more.
But
don't you think playing short is more important than playing third?
Okay, I do,
so that's
of course
one.
I do.
And that's not Wright's fault. It's just it's part of the argument for Lindor.
Yep.
And the other thing, playing every day. Now, Wright, you said played, what, 150-something games there?
David Wright that year was 160.
I mean, 160 games. He almost played every day,
He posted every day as well.
I think those are the two. After we just quickly, in 10 minutes, went through
good
it.
Good stuff.
I think it comes down to Wright versus Lindor. Good call with that Wright 2007 season.
Start some trouble and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT and Sal back here on the fan. Sal, you were...
how'd it go last night?
You were not wrong, buddy.
Your little couples, what'd you have again? It's a couples fantasy league?
I wish it was a couples massage. I wish it was a couples retreat. I wish it was anything but a couples fantasy draft.
Couples fantasy draft. And you texted me last night. I'm thinking to myself, what'd you think was going to happen?
So it was a lot going on. And I don't want to come across the wrong way because I, you know, the people that I know in the draft are awesome. Yeah. Love them. And it was cool. But I never again. That's it. One done. What a duck. You know, like a new college basketball trend here. I'm going to be there for 1 year. I'm going to bounce. I mean, first of all, there was 14 teams.
Oh, come
14
on.
14 teams. I don't even know if I know 14 couples.
14-team league is not bad, but for a 14-team couples league?
Well, that
league,
means there's 14 wives.
Yeah, come on, dude. That's 14 too many.
That are involved in the mix here. A little bit. Now, so I had that going on, right? And... you thought that Jen was going to bother me, like you try to flex.
You said she'd be into it.
She was cooking.
So not so mildly into it.
Logistically, the way the night took us, that was the easiest part because we got football practice ends at 7:30. I was with him.
Right.
My daughter's soccer practice ended, I think, at 7. Jen coaches her.
Okay.
So we all kind of got back together right around 7:30, shower, no schoolwork yet. Right. Eat. Mommy made some shrimp, some pasta, whatever. So... Daddy's in his office trying to do the draft, and I'm 2 minutes, tick, 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 tick.
Oh, God, two minutes?
Pick of the draft. It's everybody's taking 2 minutes.
Oh, my God.
So
it should be 90 seconds tops.
Tops. Yeah. You know how it's got the little message? Now, I don't even know
if the draft board.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, hurry it up, let's go.
I said something along the lines of, you know, I know I'm new here and I shouldn't write this, but I'm going to. Let's pick it up. And like the guy who invited me and my buddy Tim, he was laughing. And one other guy chimed in, like, who the hell's this? I'm like, yeah. Wait, I'm just going to lay out. I really don't care. My team's probably terrible. I finished up auto drafting. I picked a quarterback in round one. I just basically did everything you shouldn't do because I just wanted to keep it going.
Right.
Now, the thing that made it
even. What quarterback you take in round one?
Jalen Hurts. Okay. At least a dual threat guy, yeah. Which I guess you could somewhat justify. Probably not the right football move in terms of a quarterback in round one, whatever. The other thing that was going on simultaneously is I'm trying to get through this without falling asleep is my son, his baseball team and his buddies, they had their first draft. So they got 10, you know, 9 and 10-year-olds drafting.
Right.
And, you know, he knows a lot of players, but every pick, dash, I take a tight end now, dash, I take a kicker now, dash, I take a defense now, that, what about this running back, that, what about that? I'm like, if I didn't have to work tomorrow, I would have sucked down 5 scotches by now. Everybody get out of my office.
So next year, eliminate the couples draft, and then you and Cole can go out the draft together. That's what you
maybe that's
have been
the
doing.
Solution. Yeah. Why? I can't ice the wife. She didn't do anything wrong.
She didn't even participate.
It was the other. Well, that's why she did everything right. It worked out well.
I understand, but you still get sucked into a couples league.
Well, it was like, the other couples, God, not her. It wasn't us. Here's the problem. If it was a minute or even 90 seconds, more palatable. The 2 minutes is what made it treacherous.
I wish my wife was open to coming on the air. I'd love to call her and get a live reaction to me inviting her into a couples fantasy league. She would be like, what are you, out of your mind? Like, just zero interest. She would think that I'm nuts for even asking.
I think that she would. Now, this is a long distance read. Obviously, you're in your home every day.
Yeah.
I feel like she'd embrace it. After you left her for 3 days when she was sick, going to play golf with Francesa, going to play
tempted to call right now. I just worry about her cursing on the air. Now,
get her on the air. I bet you she'll feel like almost, oh, look, my husband wants to involve me.
Not in that way. I'm smart enough to know that. She'd be like, this is the way you involve me with football, which you know I hate football. What are you, a stupid idiot? You're a moron. That's what she's saying.
It's a starting point. Hey, before we go away, just us. Maybe we'll stick our toes in the football fantasy pool. Oh, my God. So it took forever. You are not wrong.
That was a rookie mistake. I'm surprised. A rookie mistake by a vet. One quick thing, BT, before we get back to the calls, I want to bring up Gallo in our newsroom. Anthony Gallo does digital, hosts some shows here. He was getting on us for not mentioning Reyes when we talk about on par with one of the great seasons in franchise history. I don't think you could put Reyes in that conversation. He played shortstop, sure. Never won a gold glove. You know, the power numbers obviously aren't there. That wasn't his thing. Even if you take away the batting title year, which wasn't his best year overall, he's had good years, but I don't think any of them, you know, led the league in stolen bases 3 times, led the league in triples 3 times, played, you know, earlier on from 05 to 08. He basically played the majority of seasons.
It's before the hamstrings, right?
Hit for a high average.
Yep.
Come on.
I really liked Jose Reyes as a player. He's not with a Piazza or David Wright or Beltran or Lindor this year.
I think I favored Reyes, too, even over Wright for some reason. Just exciting player, but in a big spot, I never trusted. I know Gallo saying he didn't trust Wright, but I don't think you can put Reyes on the caliber of Wright, Lindor, Beltran, Piazza.
I really wouldn't. Dan's in Middletown, New Jersey with BT and Sal. What's happening, Dan?
Hey, gentlemen. How's it going?
Okay.
I was going to say, on that list, how about Edgardo Alfonso?
99?
Kind of under the radar. 99. I don't think the Mets get to the World Series in 2000 without him. I mean, he had some MVP votes.
Right. Again, but Dan, we're talking 99. Alfonso was terrific, and it's a shame his back, and he stunk in the World Series, if memory recalls. And one of the reasons why the Mets didn't get the job done against the Yankees that year. 99, Alfonso hit .304, 27 homers, 108 ribbies, 41 doubles. OPS of .886.
Didn't run. Fonzie never ran. How many stolen bases do you have in front of you?
9.
Nah, he didn't run.
2000, he was an all-star. He finished 15th the year before he finished. 8 in MVP. 25, 94, hit .324. OPS of .967. So now we're getting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
OPS .967. 25 homers, 94 ribbies, 324 batting average, played 150 games.
Huh?
Yeah, again, 40 doubles. Again, very good year, 109 runs scored. It's a good year, but this is not a conversation about who had good years in Mets
exactly.
history. And I loved Fonzie, but when you're talking about great seasons, I mean, I remember John Olerud had a great season, too.
How about Todd Hundley hitting all those home runs that
41
one year.
Homers, broke the record for the catch. Pete Alonso, rookie season. Yeah. We're talking about...
Yeah, nobody even said Pete.
Yeah, I know.
52. Pardon me, 53.
Well, part of the reason why I didn't bring up Alonso is because of we're talking about defense and playing at a premium position where you play first base and Alonso's been serviceable over there and better than anybody thought, but like we're talking about high caliber. Alonso's rookie year, 53 homers, 120 ribbies.
What are you at, 270?
260, 941 OPS.
Okay. OPS plus?
147.
Okay.
Finished seventh in MVP voting. Again, like very good year.
Yep.
It's not on par with the best seasons in franchise history.
Not at this grade.
Maybe a top 10, sure.
Yeah,
but
sure,
like,
sure.
When you factor in the other things, I don't think it's on that level.
888-808-1019. Speed Team Sal, Brandon, Tierney, Sal, Licata Show. Coming up, and we'll get to these calls, I promise you. Also, up next, Anthony Becht. All right? He is the new voice of the Jets, filling in for our guy, stepping in for our guy, Marty Lyons, who is the best. I love Marty. Know him personally. Great guy. Great Jet. Great voice. But Anthony's got some big shoes to fill. And, you know, I mean, what do we get from these Jets? What do we get? We'll talk to him coming up next. Let's get the update. Bogus is that. Has that as well. BT and Sal until 2. Then it's Evan and Tiki coming up after us.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.